Talk given Saturday afternoon, 10th February 1979. The brain synthesizes our sense impressions mainly through our speech faculty. We are taught by those around from the time we are born how to effect this synthesis. Its essential aspect consists, of course, in naming things, so that by the repetition of the name, the word, the little infant comes to know the object, the person. It starts off with a pure percept. It doesn't know what it is seeing. When it sees it a second time, doesn't recognize it, recognize it. A third time, it doesn't. Until about the 3,000th or 10,000th time, and then that percept has become a real cognition of an identifiable object or person, and so on. And in that way, the child begins to know things. And the naming process is an activity by our parents, those around us, in our particular language. And with the naming process and the describing of experience, the brain is conditioned to interpret the sense impressions in a particular manner. It's a special manner, it's a limited manner. The manner here in England is different from the manner in which, say, the Aborigines of Australia would manifest. There are differences according to the climate, to the land, the racial inheritance, and so on and so on. So many factors come into play, but you'll appreciate the point. That the brain is conditioned. And so, our worldly consciousness, that is to say, our consciousness as it functions here and now in our everyday life, is confined to sense and brain functioning. Now, the brain is only the concretest expression of mind. Only the concretest expression and tool of mental functioning, as we call it. More accurately, we should call it our psychical processes. We don't know as we are. As we now are, what mind really means in its wholeness. Now, a word about consciousness. Consciousness is the subtlest aspect, element, call it what you like, energy, in ourselves, which is a hidden, unknown energy. We mustn't mix it up with states of mind or moods or anything like that. But all our states of mind and moods and so on, which we can know here and now, we know whether we are depressed or happy or whatever it is. We can never know consciousness as consciousness. For one thing, this consciousness is not our property. Consciousness is universal. It's a characterless, infinite, immortal, eternal energy. And it is universal. But because of consciousness functioning through every person, it is not his property as such, because it is unseizable, ungraspable, but it determines our states of mind, our feelings, our moods, and everything else. The unknown, the power behind the throne, so to say, determines that which is apparent and functioning in space, time, and limitation and mortality here and now. Consciousness undergoes change in this process in the particular individual. All what we call our mental processes are really our psychophysical processes. There is no such thing as a psychical state without some sort of physical correspondence to it. If you experience a feeling of anger or whatever it is, the body will generate adrenaline. If you have any particular thought, however cool it may be and balanced and rational and all the rest of it, there is an electrochemical activity taking place in the brain. It always is associated with a concrete apparatus, the body itself. Do remember that. See? But consciousness is over and above all these. Consciousness is the power behind the throne, I said. And all that happens to us and through us affects consciousness. Affects it which way? Only one way that I can present, I can put before you. If all our psychophysical process is in line with the trends of life, then it liberates our consciousness. What that phrase means, I cannot put into words. But it liberates our consciousness, and you, the person, then, are no longer conscious as a separate self, but you are conscious in terms of us, the totality, not I, the separate person. That is the difference. And in that process, the entire development of man, as intended by the trend of life through the human species, comes to fruition and fulfillment. It's not easy to understand this at all. It's taken me 60 years to come to the recognition of the first word of the whole story. Just the first word. So do appreciate the difficulty. Our conditioning is what we can come to know. We can come to know that ultimately quite fully. So we must bear in mind that our worldly consciousness is confined to sense and brain functioning. And this is our unavoidable starting point. dormant in us, we who are, as we are, psychophysical organisms, our sensitivities, potentialities, and what I like to call energy stirrings, which strive to break through our confinement. Doesn't happen with every single human being in the world. He doesn't care. He doesn't know even. But people like ourselves, who are seriously concerned with all these deep things, with man, the meaning of the word man, and with the fulfillment and fruition of man, or, if you like, which is more accurate, the fulfillment and fruition of transcendence through oneself as man. Manhood comes to full fruition. Now, insofar as these strivings are in line with the life trends towards fulfillment for the human species, then it is well with each one of us. Otherwise, if our strivings are not in line with the life trends, it goes ill constantly with all of us. Ill in the real sense, not according to our petty definition of ill, which means that which I don't like. Also, therefore, wisdom lies in letting this come about by perception of and cooperation with these life trends. Extremely difficult to see them. The main life trend in man is for consciousness to realize release out of confinement within finitude, separateness, separate selfness, and hence lack of wholeness, to realize release within time and hence mortality, within fortuitous change and change which through our unintelligence we bring about, pursuing our passion for pleasure, our desires, our ambitions, and all the rest of it. Within fortuitous change, and hence confusion, useless conflict, sorrow, and disorder. They all belong to time and change. To realize release out of all that into the consciousness of wholeness, holiness. There is no wholeness apart from complete health, complete well-being. And this is the most practical form in which one can put the matter. And this wholeness and holiness means non-finitude, immortality, and eternity. Please notice, these terms are not the opposite of the finite, of the mortal, and of time. Eternity is not the opposite of time, nor is it identical with timelessness. We dealt with that last weekend. Our experiencing of timelessness takes place within the confines of time, then our consciousness of what we were pleased to call the eternal is back again into the non-eternal. Such is the life trend in and for man. Now, how can we perceive this? To try to see it in terms of a thesis, of a logical reasoned thesis, in terms of concepts, and to formulate it in words, this is perhaps in some cases a first step, but more often than not, all these are misleading. Why? For the simple reason that we, as conditioned persons, are imperfect. Therefore, all our concepts will be faulty. That doesn't mean that we can throw away concepts, not at all. They'll be there. But don't hold on to them. It is the fixation which is the imprisonment. If we don't grasp them, that is to say, grasp them in the sense of holding on to them as personal property, as something which is the truth, or something which you have actually got hold of. You can't hold on to anything. There is the complete dissolution through the universal process of every single manifestation in the cosmos. So don't attempt to grasp it. This is the mistake that all mankind makes, willy-nilly. Even when we know this and believe in it, out of faith, we cannot live up to it at all. Watch your own daily life, especially all that goes on in the brain, the planning, the scheming, the reacting, the desiring, the ambitions, and the way we put out all our efforts. 99.99% of them are dustbin material. That's all. And that is the sad part of the story. But that 0.01%, which is not that, is possessed of invincibility. It is possessed of omnipotence, because it lives and moves and functions in the infinite, the immortal, and the eternal. So never mind the dustbin material. You know, you fill your waste paper basket with all the envelopes and letters which are of no value or anything. The message is just one little thing out of the whole lot, isn't it? That which is of real value. Our life is also a little bit like that. Now, almost everyone is held fast by his conditioning in the prison of his own ignorance. And each man does not even know that he is ignorant. And if he is told that, he will be very offended. Not because you are wrong, but because, like oneself, the person who says it to the other fellow, he also is full of egoism, vanity, self-esteem, and self-evaluation, which is almost entirely all mistaken. See, our human life is like a voyage of discovery, not a discovery of the truth of our being, the reality of the flowering process, the blossoming process of man. It is not a discovery of that. It is a discovery of our obstructiveness to transcendence, which does all the blossoming through us. And when we do discover fully, and it can be done because it has been done through the ages, when we discover fully our obstructiveness, then our ignorance in this transcendent sense, ignorance in the transcendent sense, has absolutely dissolved and become pure wisdom, divine wisdom, omniscience, the omniscience of God, if you like. It has become that. See? And then, the truth, whatever that may be, is embodied in you yourself as you live your everyday life. I mean your ordinary everyday life. That is why it is true that potentially each one of us is transcendence embodied. The incarnate meaning of the incarnation is there. Each man is ignorant of the fundamental fact that his mode of awareness of existence, consciousness again, mode of awareness of existence, is in terms of the worldly, enslaved, subhuman, often truly brutish, and not in terms of the creative, free, fully blossomed human. Now, I'm not using the term subhuman pejoratively. This is what we are. The word human, in its fullness, is identical in meaning with the word God. Identical. Who has presented God, or the transcendent, or Brahman, or Allah, or use any word you like, the absolute, if you want to use a philosophic phrase. Who has presented it? Men and women have presented it. There's no particular, because then that would be limited, finite, mortal, full of flaws. No particular divine being has come down and given you secret information. Man presented God. And how was he able to present God? Why was he able to do so? Because those few who realized this complete fulfillment of manhood and what it stands for, saw that this was the only way, in those, certainly in past centuries, in which this could be presented. So, it is man blossomed into his fullness, which means man become God in the true sense, who presents himself to his fellow men. But he doesn't say, I am God. There are certain exceptions. The word God is very personalistic. It's a loaded word. In India, the Upanishadic sages, amongst others, used the phrase Aham Brahmasmi, which is translated as I am Brahman. I would prefer if they had said Brahman is me. That's the way Al-Halaj put it. He didn't use Brahman because he was a Muslim. You see? And he said, if you do not recognize me as such, then try and see the sign of the Supreme. I am that sign. They crucified him for that, most cruelly. So I'm not using the word subhuman pejoratively, but only in the sense that the word represents the fact that we as individual people, individual persons, have not yet come to full fruition as man. The word human, and we've talked about this so often in past meetings, so I won't spend any time, simply means the blissful creator. How has God been presented in the religions? Creator and in everlasting bliss. The word hue, the very word means precisely that. So, when I say subhuman, I simply means we have not become, we have not become that, because we are obstructive to transcendence, partly through our ignorance, and partly through our willfulness, which is our, again, our animal heritage. The self-conscious heritage. Now, merely hearing or reading such words does not liberate us. You may feel inspired by the words, you may feel uplifted, you may think, oh, this is sublime, this is wonderful. An hour later, a day later, a month later, what's happened to all the uplift and the sublimity? It has vanished. Why? Because the mere hearing of the word, though it has stirred, has not transformed you. There has to be a transmutation, like we have in science, the transmutation of one element into another. It is completely changed into something rich and strange, something utterly different. What is the subhuman changed into? Man who is God in man on earth. He is the nexus, the focus point, the receptacle which offers no obstruction or resistance to the inflow and outflow of transcendent energy. So you see, merely hearing words or reading them doesn't affect the change. You can believe it with all your heart as you think you do, if you accept it as such. But belief falls short faith which is blind faith or mere belief or anything like that is insufficient by itself. When there is real perception, then you are that which you perceive. You are that in consciousness. That which you perceive is no longer separate from you, no longer outside you. You are completely one with it. You are in total union with it. The meaning of transcendent love, this total oneness, and think of its implications. There is no such thing as possession in total oneness. You are it. What is there to possess? I don't think of my ear or my hand as something which I, an object which I possess. It is part and parcel of me, myself. And when this happens in terms of consciousness, not merely in terms of thought and feeling or mood, then that is the real fulfillment and fruition. In that state, when you are what you perceive, you are the truth. And you are so transformed that you are capable of seeing the whole fact immediately with unerring insight. That is why the Buddha said of himself, he was one not liable to delusion. Jesus said similar things in his own words to his disciples. Read particularly St. John's Gospel, chapters 14 to 17. The Father is in me and with me. What the Father tells me, that I tell you. He talks of the Father as the Father in heaven. Heaven not outside, but here now. The kingdom of heaven is within. All right? Have we really understood? Or are they just words? You see, they remain words only because our interpretive activity, which goes on consciously as well as subconsciously, hidden from our conscious observation, spoils the whole situation. And this is what we have to beware of. Not be on guard against, because that way is the way of mere conflict, but so understand it all that that which is ill inside our own being, remember, is healed, and our own being becomes whole, holy, complete. All evil has to be transformed. You cannot overcome it. It is useless fighting against it. Understand it so completely, so utterly, that this understanding, coupled with pure compassion, with transcendent compassion which will emerge by itself naturally when you do this, will heal the whole situation. And then oneself at last is just a man. God in human shape, in the shape of the blissful Creator, creating as man, not as a bird or a tree, not flowering as the flower comes to fruition, but as man comes to fruition, and so forth. Now to perceive these things is very, very difficult, because the context of the transcendent being a context which is so utterly over and above and beyond us, but completely includes us at the same time, you see, is something which we as we are cannot respond to. It's a little bit like this. If you play the bottom note, say the bottom C on a piano, it will vibrate, let us say, 32 times a second. And the octave above vibrates at 64 times, and so on. It will come to middle C, 256, and the top C at 4,000 and something, you see. Now, 32 vibrations are somewhat distant. They can't contain 4,000 vibrations. But the top C, the 4,000, contains 32, doesn't it?